News Radio 1150 KSAL.
Prepare for a true revolution.
Actually, you can prove God exists.
Questioning tradition, because what you've been taught isn't always true.
The truth will set you free.
That's right, the truth will set you free. It is Truth Revolution. I'm Dave, and with me, as always, is Pastor Jeff.
Good morning to you.
Good morning. That's a great morning, isn't it?
It is a great morning.
Yeah, we had our first church service in the new building.
That's right. It was
night.
Awesome.
It was.
Man, that place looks good.
It was.
You can actually check it out online. If you go to our Facebook page, we posted a link to a video of last night so you can see what it looks like. At least the stage part.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty. Everything went really well, except we had a couple issues.
Uh-huh. Well, you know, you're going to have a couple issues whenever you start something new like that.
Yeah, I have a new building. Everything was brand new. It worked really well. Our bathrooms didn't work. They started overflowing like an hour before the service.
Got to go next door.
We called a plumber, but there's no answer. So
right. We'll
get that fixed this week, I suppose. I can't believe that happened. But
so the new address is 1111 West South.
Yeah, it's still across from Ace Hardware.
Mm-hmm.
So if you know where that is, or if you know where Hanson's Music is, you just basically right across the street from that. It's the Revolution Church, and we haven't put our sign out front yet, still working on that. We got an old bingo sign, I think from the 50s or something.
Right, so don't come in expecting to play bingo.
Well, you never know.
Well, bingo game might break out, but...
Yeah, I could do that during the sermon
and
be like, here's my first point, B29. So anyway, today we are talking about manuscripts. How do we know that the Bible is real is a question we've been asking and answering for a long time.
From a bunch of different points.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I mean, we looked at archaeology and saw that the Bible's true with the history. We've looked at prophecy. Prophecies were told hundreds of years in advance, and we compared them to other religions or Nostradamus.
Right.
And found out that the Bible prophecies are way, way more in detail.
Oh, yeah.
Told farther in the future. And you can't really get around this prophecy. Then we looked at statistics last week.
Mm-hmm.
That one blew your mind.
It did.
I mean, it should have blown everybody's mind if you can grasp the enormousness of those numbers. I mean, we were talking about the odds that anyone could fulfill even 40-some of the prophecies Jesus did. And
right.
He fulfilled like 192 prophecies. Just count like 47 of them, and it's almost, not almost impossible, it is impossible.
Yes, well, it is impossible for somebody that's not the Son of God.
Yeah, that's true.
You could try, and I would dare anybody to try, to line out their entire life to match up with just those 47 prophecies.
Yeah, well, most of them can't do it because they had to have fulfilled these before they were even born, a lot of them.
Oh, wow.
You know, who their ancestors were, what city they were born in,
right.
You know, what their nicknames were as they were growing up.
So in other words, we're going to have to find specific people
who already fulfill that,
already
and then try
that.
To get them to fulfill the rest.
There you go.
They still don't even have control because they have to die a certain way, and while they're dying, people have to gamble for their clothes. That was a prophecy. How do you make that happen? You know, that's so. Anyway, it's pretty unlikely. But today, you know, even though we've looked at statistics and probability and all this, we're asking the question: how do we know the Bible hasn't changed over time?
Right, because you know people are talking about the whole Xerox concept. You take a Xerox and you copy it, and then you take that copy and copy the copy, and then copy the copy and copy copy. And you're going to wind up with a distorted item. And everybody says that over a course of time, with people doing the different translations and translating a translation, you're going to wind up with a bunch of errors.
Right. Or when they talk about the telephone game.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Things like that. So, the question is, and two, you know, people will say, okay, I think I look at these prophecies that the Bible has, and I see they're detailed.
Mm-hmm.
They're extremely detailed. And so what some people do is say, well, I guess these prophecies weren't actually prophecies. They were descriptions of something that happened,
right.
Because nobody could prophesy this hundreds of years in advance.
Well,
so what our question is, is how do we know the Bible hasn't changed over 2,000 years, or even older than that, 5,000 years? How do we know the Bible is the same as it was when it was originally written?
Yeah, and you know what? It's human nature to doubt, but we are here to help you quell those doubts about the authenticity of the Bible.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's what we're going to study today. When we get into this a little bit more, we're going to get a lot of details here. I want to let everyone know that next week we're doing a questions only week.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have any questions about the Bible or about Jesus or God or religion or spirituality, anything at all, we want you to send those questions to us. Dave, what's our address?
Well, the address is truthrevolution.tv, and you need to head over to your computer right now, punch it in, and then it'll pop up a screen that has a little bitty window right in the middle of it, and it has all of our information right there, and even got some video on there, so you can see some clips from past shows and stuff like that. So truthrevolution.tv, and that'll give you all the contact information you need to throw us any kind of question that you think, even if you think it's going to throw us a curve. I'd love to see Jeff get a curve because that look in his eye every once in a while is like,
shoot,
deer in the headlights.
Can't hold me. All right. Now, we get questions a lot, and so we're going to try to answer some of those questions.
Mm-hmm.
So, and you can send us an email, questions@truthrevolution.tv. Mm-hmm. You can hit us up on Twitter. You can hit us up on Facebook at Revolution Church's Facebook account. So, check us out, truthrevolution.tv, and pretty basic website right now. We're going to be getting that bigger and expanded later on. But mm-hmm. Yeah, we definitely want to have questions answered next week. That's what it's all about.
Right.
So anyway, send in your questions. We're going to try to answer those next week. For today, let's get into this.
All right, before we get into it, I want to go ahead and do a Bible contradiction.
A Bible contradiction? Well, okay.
Bible contradiction.
I just figured, might as well get it out of the way, and then we'll jump both feet into today's program. Bible contradiction today, in Ephesians 4:8, does Paul really, does he inaccurately quote Psalm 68:18?
Maybe.
All right. This is a problem that some people have, although it may be a minor one. Mm. It's still something in the Bible that may be wrong.
Okay, let's see.
So let's hit this one out of the park. Paul quotes Psalm 68:18 saying, "When he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men." And of course, he says this in Ephesians 4:8. Yet the Old Testament Psalm reads, "You have ascended on high, and you have led the captivity captive. You have received gifts among men." So in Ephesians 4:8, Paul says that he gave gifts to men, whereas in Psalm 68:18, it says that he received gifts.
Oh, man. I don't know how to answer that. What? The Bible's
really?
Not true, I guess.
Show's over.
All right. Well, Okay, here's the answer. All right. And we have this big list of I want everyone to go out there and buy this book by a guy named Norman Geisler.
Mm-hmm.
Called The Big Book of Bible Difficulties, or The Critic's Bible Difficulty Books. It's under a couple different titles. In this book, he gives a bunch of lists of mistakes people make. I've added to the list, but this is his mistake number 9, demanding that New Testament citations of the Old Testament always be exact quotations.
Okay.
Right, that is a mistake people make when they're looking at the Bible. They read this quotation, and it's not an exact quote, and they think, oh, the Bible contradicts itself. No, here's the deal. Back then, they used what was basically what we would refer to today as free citations.
Mm-hmm.
You're basically given the gist of what they said.
Right.
Their goal was not to give the exact quotation. They didn't really care about the exact quotation. They cared about the point that was being made.
The concept. Mm-hmm.
Now, you can't do that in your English class or your history class today. If you give a quote, you say, yeah, Abraham Lincoln said 78 years ago, everyone's like, oh, you can't do that. But yeah. Or if you said, yeah, Abraham Lincoln gave this great speech, and he said, a while back,
right,
your teacher would freak out. Don't say a while back. Say the exact thing. Yeah.
Right. Do you think they'd even nitpick if you said 87 years ago?
They probably would nitpick.
Probably. No, you got to say 67 years ago.
Yeah. 87. That was good. You knew that meant 87 years.
Yeah, my math teacher would be proud.
Yeah.
As well as my history teacher. Holy cow.
So I don't think I even knew that. I'm impressed. So they gave free citations back then, and everybody was okay with it, even the scholars.
Mm-hmm.
You just gave the gist of it. That was the whole point. So here what you have is someone giving the gist of it, giving the concept rather than an exact quotation, and that is okay. Now, some people look at this and say, well, here it says "gived," and the other one, he quotes it by saying "received." Isn't that the opposite? That's not just a free citation. That's like the opposite.
Right.
But you, and I'm going to quote Norman Geisler here, okay? Some say that Paul did not quote from the Septuagint. That's the Old Testament. But from the Aramaic Targum. Okay, okay, that's what Jews use when it's what they use to interpret the Bible.
Okay.
So he's saying that some people think he quoted a different book, not the Bible there. All right. And so the Septuagint translates the Hebrew as "you have taken," while the Targum translates it "you have given." Now, here's what he says. In any event, the idea given by these two translations of the Hebrew is that God received or took gifts so that they could be distributed to men. Both ideas are in the text. Both renderings are correct. See, the whole point is God took or received something and then gave it to men.
Right.
So no matter which way you word that, it's an okay translation. There you go. All right, and that is the answer for a Bible contradiction today.
Bible contradiction.
I love Bible contradictions. I used to be afraid of them.
Really?
Yeah, until we started the show. No, I just laugh.
Yeah. A lot of people are afraid of them. I actually had a guy come to me once and tell me essentially that it was wrong of me to look into such things.
Really?
Yeah.
Like, he's afraid you might uncover something? Or...
Probably. I mean, he was a Christian guy. He was. He's still a friend of mine. And, you know, he said, I don't think you really should do that. Do you really want to be looking into things? Do you really want to ask those questions?
I think, actually, Christ would encourage that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I kind of looked at him. I was like, what do you mean, do I want to ask those questions? Of course I want to ask those questions, because...
Everybody should want to ask those questions.
Yeah, we're going to find one of two things.
Mm-hmm.
Either we're going to find out that what we believe isn't true, which is, in that case, let's stop believing it. It's not worth it if it's not true. Or we're going to find out that it is true.
Yeah.
And that's really good reassurance to our faith, and it's a really good way to give answers to people who don't know about our faith.
It's impossible to find truth without asking questions.
That's exactly right. So. Speaking of questions, next week we're doing a question week. So go over to our website, truthrevolution.tv, and email us or text us. We want as many questions as we can get. That's all we're doing next week, is your questions instead of our own little topics here.
That'll be fun.
It will be fun. All right, so let's get into this thing today, manuscript evidence. How do we know the Bible isn't different than it was 2,000 years ago? A critic, Robert Ingersoll, says this: it's probable that nothing like the Bible existed in any permanent form among the Jews until a few hundred years before Christ. All right, he says,
really?
Yeah, he says, a few hundred years before Christ, that's when the Bible really was put together.
Really?
So, I mean, how do we know that what we have now is the same as what was written thousands of years ago?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we can build a case for the Bible using fulfilled prophecy, historical and archaeological evidence, and numerous other ways to verify the Bible is God's word. And we've done that.
Right. Constantly.
But the New Testament's 2,000 years old. So it's been translated hundreds of times by hundreds of people over thousands of years. So what we read today is probably completely different than what the disciples of Jesus actually wrote.
Really?
No, not really. But, you know,
scared me for a second.
No, Donald Morgan, he's another critic, he says no original manuscript exists. There's probably not one book which survives in anything like its original form. There are hundreds of differences between the oldest manuscripts of any one book. These differences indicate that numerous additions and alterations, some accidental, some purposeful, were made to the original by various authors, editors, and copyists. So this is what this guy's saying.
I got to object. Because, what? I mean, because I know for a fact in some of the research that I've done that his statement is totally false.
It is totally false. It's almost like Now, we want to be respectful, but it's almost like he just doesn't know what he's talking about.
Well, he didn't do enough research. Or maybe he just quoted what somebody else said.
That's probably likely, because you get these things passed around from person to person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everyone says, well, there's no original manuscripts of the Bible, and so you just can't trust it. And so everyone starts repeating that.
Right.
Now, I'll grant them he got one thing right. We don't have the original manuscript from the Bible. We don't have the original writings, what, you know, the Apostle Paul or what Moses wrote. We don't have that. We only have manuscripts. Excuse me. A manuscript is a handwritten copy of an original document.
Right.
All we have are manuscripts. And some people say, well, there's 2,000 years of copying. There must be error. And some people say this. Some Christians say, but the Bible is the word of God. God would never let his word be miscopied. Well, no, God never promised that, okay?
Right.
We have to get this right out there. God never promised that there would not be any errors. He promised that his word would always be there and that we'd always be able to understand it, but he never promised that errors wouldn't creep in.
Do you think it's fair to say that God is going to make sure that all the necessary concepts are going to stay intact throughout the Bible?
I think it's okay to say that because we know the nature of God.
Mm-hmm.
And the nature of God is that he wants people to know him.
Right.
He never made the promise in Scripture that says point blank, these words will always be exactly the same for thousands and thousands of years.
Right.
But we know the character of God is loving and generous, and he wants people to know him. And the Bible is the best way to know him. And so we can assume that God's, because of his nature as a being, he's going to allow us to continue to have these words in some form that's reliable. Now, we're going to look at history and we're going to find out that it is reliable, that the Bible is pretty much the same as when it was originally written. Mm-hmm. We're going to do this in two parts, Old Testament and New Testament.
All right.
When we examine the Jewish religion to understand the Old Testament, we find out that the Old Testament, 3,000 or 4,000 years old, okay? I mean, really old. Keeping a manuscript written on animal skins in good shape for 3,000 or 4,000 years is not easy, and that's what they tried to do.
Try it.
Whenever a copy became somewhat worn out, you know what the Jews would do? They would actually ceremoniously bury them.
Really?
Yeah, they would have this ceremony, and if there's a little bit of tatters on it, they would just go ahead and bury it. So that's the bad news, because we don't actually have really, really old manuscripts of the Old Testament, because they would bury them.
Right.
Now, the good news is we can trust their copying process very well because of the tremendous amount of respect they had for the text. If there was any problems at all, even a little tiny problem, they literally buried it and got rid of it so no one could ever touch it again. So we don't have hardly any manuscripts in the Old Testament, because there, as soon as there was a problem, people would get rid of them. So that's the answer for the Old Testament. Also, in the 5th century AD, Jewish scribes started standardizing writings of the Hebrews, adding vowels, and so really until the 5th century, we didn't have what we have now.
Okay.
Now that's the bad news. Coming back, we're going to have the good news. Hit us up, truthrevolution.tv, send us your questions, and when we come back, we're going to look at the New Testament and how we have amazing evidence that the Bible is exactly the same as it was written.
All right, hang out with us.
It may be cold outside, but Spangles can warm you up inside. Here's Renee Steven, and she has some very tasty hot news.
Better head into Spangles for the new Frito Chili Cheese Bowl. It's a delicious hot meal, all in one bowl. And it's made fresh, right when you order it. It starts with our premium all-meat chili, melted cheese, diced onions. Then we top it with crunchy Frito corn chips. The Frito Chili Cheese Bowl from Spangles.
It's all about the crunch. Our original recipe, all meat chili, with melted cheese, diced onions, covered with Fritos. And if you like a little more heat, you can add sliced jalapenos. It's a meal in a bowl. The Spangles Frito Chili Cheese Bowl. Grab several for the family. Take off that winter chill with Spangles' new Frito Chili Cheese Bowl. Here for a limited time.
Freshness made to order. Spangles, it just tastes better.
So check it out. There is this member of our church who is always telling us what to do and how to do it, throwing guilt on us.
Yep.
So
we kicked him out.
That's right.
We kicked out religion.
Revolution Church.
Revolution Church is about building a relationship with Jesus.
And with each other.
And it's about learning who God is. So if you're interested in learning about God and building a relationship with him, come and join us Saturday night at 7 o'clock. www.salinarevolution.com.
Rite Aid wants to be your new pharmacy. Transferring's easy. With your list of medications, call 1-800-RITE-AID, go online at RiteAid.com, or visit any location and we'll do the rest. Every prescription gets you closer to 20% off the whole store, fast, with a free Wellness Plus card. Rite Aid accepts most major plans, including those with Express Scripts coverage, so transfer today. Certain limitations apply. Prescriptions paid for in whole or in part by state or federal healthcare programs, such as Medicare or Medicaid, are not eligible for Wellness Plus points, nor are prescriptions filled in New York or New Jersey. See pharmacist for details.
Truth Revolution.
And we're back. Truth Revolution. I'm Dave, and with me is Jeff.
Hey, we're examining the Bible. Is it the same as it was written 2,000 years ago, or is it different?
Right.
And we found out when the Jews made their Bibles 4,000 or 5,000 years ago, they would bury it if there's any little problem at all.
Right.
So we don't have anything super old from them, but we can trust that it's pretty much going to be similar, because if there's any tiny problem at all, they would simply bury it and get rid of it. They wouldn't allow mistakes.
Really, what you got to do is look at the care in which they took with it. If there's a mistake, they're going to bury it. Or if it started getting tattered, they would bury it in a ceremony.
Exactly.
You know, and so that's not to say, well, we're going to bury this in a ceremony, but we're going to leave old you know, Joe over here to just do whatever he wants. I don't think that happens.
No. And look, we do have some few manuscripts here and there. And the great news is that out of the few manuscripts we have of the Old Testament, we have some from Palestine, some from mm-hmm. Syria and Egypt. All from these different countries at different times, they all agree on almost every single point. Plus the Dead Sea Scrolls, and this is great. Right. They were discovered in caves in the 1950s. These date back to before 100 AD. And okay, so they sat in these caves for 2,000 years.
That's crazy.
So we had no manuscripts earlier than 500 AD. Okay, mm-hmm. So 500 years was the earliest manuscript we had. Then also we find these, and they're from before 100 AD, 400 years earlier. They're by far the earliest things we found. So the big question is, how many changes took place in 400 years of copying? And after examining
dun,
it,
dun, dun.
95% identical.
There you go.
Listen, so there was only 5% difference in these manuscripts. And the 5% differences, almost all of those were spelling differences. Almost nothing was content. It was all spelling, and there was hardly even any of those. The Dead Sea Scrolls prove that our Old Testament is identical to what was written 2,000 years ago.
That's awesome.
The content has not changed. The Old Testament's reliable. So when you're reading your Bible and you're looking at the Old Testament, you can know that is the same that was written 2,000 years ago and probably identical to what was written 5,000 years ago. But now to the New Testament.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the one that I really love because the New Testament's about Jesus. It's the Old Testament's extremely important. It leads up to Jesus.
Right.
But without the New Testament, we wouldn't know who Jesus was.
Mm-hmm.
So we could argue that it's more important. Let me give you a little history on manuscripts. Can I do that?
Yeah, do that.
Okay.
I'm all ears.
If you have 80 or 90 manuscripts from an ancient document, that is very, very good.
Yeah.
Julius Caesar, you know that guy, right?
Mm-hmm.
You've heard of him. He wrote a thing called Gallic Wars. We have 9 or 10 manuscript copies of Gallic Wars. Most people consider that pretty good. I mean, Julius Caesar stuff, that's a couple thousand years old. And so the fact that we have 9 or 10 manuscript copies of Caesar's writings, that's really good. We can take those 10 copies and compare them to each other and be pretty certain what he wrote. Tacitus, he was an ancient historian. We have 2 manuscripts of his writings.
Wow.
Yet historians rely on what he wrote to compare to the rest of the world.
Mm-hmm.
We take Tacitus' writings and bam, man, those things are...
I see where you're going here.
Yeah. Homer's Iliad, you heard of that book? That's mm-hmm. thousands of years old. This is the one that has by far the most manuscript evidence of any normal book in the world.
Okay.
643 manuscripts. Okay. So Julius Caesar, you got 9 or 10. Tacitus, we got 2 manuscripts. Homer's Iliad, we've got 643 manuscripts. That's a lot of evidence to show that that what he wrote is probably the same because it's been copied. We have that many old copies. We can compare them to each other. You know, if one of them says, I put the shoe on my foot, and the other 642 copies say, I put the boot on my foot, we know, okay, it was probably supposed to be, I put the boot on my foot.
Right.
And the one that put shoe was just a copyist error. So the more manuscripts you have, the more reliable it is. What about the Bible? Right? Remember, Tacitus has 2, Julius Caesar has 9 or 10, Homer's Iliad has 643.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible has 14,600 manuscripts of the New Testament. I mean, plus we have over 30,000 ancient quotations. You could almost put the whole Bible together just by ancient quotations.
Right.
Oh, I mean, we're talking 44,000.
Right.
14,000 full copies. This is a ton of evidence.
Right. Now the big question is, how far back do they go? I mean, as far as, you know, how old are they?
Oh, we'll get there.
Okay.
But I want to make clear how huge this is.
Putting the cart before the horse, sorry.
If each manuscript was 1 foot long, Homer's Iliad would reach about halfway up the Sears Tower.
Okay.
The Bible would go up the Sears Tower 10 times. Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how much manuscript mm-hmm. evidence the Bible has. The New Testament's credibility far outweighs any other book in the history of the world. That's how many manuscripts we have. Now, like you pointed out, the number of manuscripts isn't everything. The age is also important. Because if we have, you know, we could say we have 14,000 manuscripts, but if they're all from 1920, that doesn't mean mm-hmm. anything, you know. So we want to get as close to the original as possible. Homer wrote another book, The Odyssey.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, this is amazing because his manuscripts are only 500 years away from the original. But the New Testament, we have copies within the first century of when it was written, about 80 years. Some people even think 40 or 50 years. Wow. I mean, that blows away the competition. Homer wrote a book, and it is 500 years away from the original, right. Our first manuscript. And people think, that's pretty good. We could probably trust what that says.
Right.
But the Bible, it's only decades away from the original manuscript. Do you understand how huge that right. is?
To be clear, the manuscript evidence from the Iliad and the Odyssey and then Tacitus and then Caesar's book, these all their writings are considered to be true and faithful to the original just by the evidence that they have.
Right.
Yet you turn around and a lot of people are discrediting the Bible because they say there's no evidence that the Bible is correct or true to what it was written as back in the day.
Right, it's kind of ridiculous. Like, you'll have English teachers saying, you know, here, read Homer's, you know, Iliad. It's mm-hmm. a really good book. And if you ask them, well, is this what he actually wrote? They would say, well, yeah. I mean, mm-hmm. we have lots of manuscripts that prove it. But that same teacher might turn around and say, well, don't trust the Bible because it's been copied for 2,000 years.
Yeah. Wow.
Never mind the fact that it has copies way earlier than any other book. Never mind the fact that it has thousands of more copies than any other book. I mean, the manuscript evidence is astounding. We know we can trust some of his other books, like Homer's Iliad, because it has so many manuscripts. Homer's Iliad, 643 copies. Mm. More manuscript evidence than any other book except the Bible. The Bible has 14,000 copies of manuscripts written up to, you know, just decades after it was written originally.
Right.
And you compare the very first ones with the very last ones, and there's virtually no difference. There, like we said, there's, you know, in the Old Testament, there's only 5% difference, and most of those are spelling differences.
Right.
So, I mean, what we have now, what you have today, is pretty much the same thing as they had 2,000 years ago, 4,000 years ago, what have you.
So we'll say the evidence is overwhelming.
Overwhelming.
To say the least.
Yeah, I mean, there is no question. When we take the shows that we did weeks ago, mm-hmm. you know, and we look at the prophecies, and we say, okay, look, we have this thing in, you know, the book of Daniel 5:1, where it says, you know, King Belshazzar gave a great banquet for thousands of nobles, and it talks about the historical, you know, evidence that this guy was a king, and then it prophesies that this king dealt with Daniel, and he gave prophecies about what the Messiah is going to be, and people say, well, that was recording history.
Right.
That you can't prophesy that far in the future. No, we really can. And we have evidence because we have records from before then. We have records showing that this is what was really written. I mean, it's pretty astounding evidence. Plus, you look at archaeology. Archaeology proves the Bible true. I mean, you get into Genesis and the creation of the world. Archaeology started showing a long time ago that Well, here what happens when we get into Genesis. You have Babylon and Sumerian accounts of creation, and they describe it as a conflict between finite gods. One god's defeated and is split in half, and he becomes the river Euphrates by flowing tears from his eye, and the Tigris from the other, and man is made with blood and evil god mixed with clay. And
mm-hmm.
Well, okay. You take that, and that's one possible way we are created. Or you do what Genesis tells us, which is one god, who simply spoke the world into existence, and it existed. And some people will say, well, you know, if you look at the manuscripts, you'll realize that the Bible's not very old, and blah, 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 and they just made this up later. But we found this place called Ebla. And in Ebla, there are over 17,000 clay tablets predating the Babylonian Sumerian accounts by about 600 years. So this is, in a way, a manuscript evidence
right.
showing that the Bible's way of telling things, one God who created everything that existed, predates any other story of creation.
And what wasn't there like kind of the...
Yeah, there was. Exactly one of those.
In those manuscripts, wasn't the first man named something close to Adam?
Yeah, there was. I don't recall that off the top of my head, but yeah, I think you're right. There mm-hmm. was something like that. You know, in Norman Geisler, he gives talks about manuscript evidence quite a bit. He's also the guy that deals with our Bible contradiction stuff. And he talks about how historically we know that the Bible is also true because you look at these manuscript evidence and how the Bible describes Jesus being crucified. And a lot of people look back at that and say, Jesus wasn't crucified this way. That's not really how they crucified people. But what happens is archaeologists found a man named Ben Helgolag who was a victim of crucifixion.
Say it again.
Ben Helgolag. And what they found with him is a seven-inch nail was driven through both of his feet, The feet had been turned outward so that the square nail could be hammered through the heel, just inside the Achilles tendon. Additionally, Norman Geisler says, we know that his lower arms have been pierced with nails, that his legs have been crushed by a blow, fitting with the description of John 19 given in the New Testament for crucifixions. Okay, I mean, this guy that we found, archaeologists found, is crucified in the exact manner that the Bible describes that people mocked for so long.
Right.
But we know what they wrote in the year 50 AD about Jesus is the same as we read today. Nothing's changed. And then you compare that to history and what archaeologists find, and it's exactly right on.
Right.
And then you look at the prophecies about Jesus, and we find out that Jesus fulfilled them. And we know you didn't alter those things in the Bible to make it up. It's exactly what they wrote hundreds and thousands of years ago. And so it's like you combine all these together. The prophecies, the archaeological evidence, the statistics that anyone could fill those prophecies, and now the fact that the Bible really, really is the same now as it was thousands of years ago.
Right.
You cannot deny the Bible must be divine in origin.
Excellent.
No one else could have put this together except God himself.
Right. Oh, that evidence is overwhelming.
That's
mean,
right.
How can you? And the more archaeologists dig, the more that they prove the history and stuff like that about the Bible correct. And I say, archaeologists everywhere, keep digging, man.
Yeah, that's right. Hey, check us out, truthrevolution.tv. We want your questions for our show next week.
Right.
It's all about questions.
We're going to answer them.
And we want a truth revolution in your life.